What a spicy, spicy week. Crazy. Griff Report starts right now.
2-1, boom. Hotep Jesus.
Of all the Jesuses I know, he's the Hotepiest. Social scientist and YouTube host, Hotep Jesus.
How the fuck do you get a name like Hotep Jesus?
He's the one and only Hotep Jesus.
Ryan Sharp, better known to the world as Hotep Jesus.
Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus?
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Somebody said, what do you think you are, some kind of Hotep Jesus?
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
Like, ooh, that's sexy. Yes, I do think I'm Hotep Jesus.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Griff Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, the Griff God. Now, hold on, I got to do that because I'm trying to do this. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to the Griff Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, the Griff God.
Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus?
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
Hotep to the chat. Hotep to the Hotep of Stannies.
Hotep.
For the people that don't know, those sound bites you hear at the beginning of every show are the voices of Scott Adams, in order. Scott Adams, Alex Jones, and Charleston White. The Charleston White one came during my interview with Blaze Personality and former Grifter of the Year, Alex Stein, during an episode he had, and there was some rainbow activities happening during that show. He told Charleston White he didn't have to deal with it. And that's when he said, oh, this is a real Hotep, brother. So I clipped that. And that's where that came from. Shout out to Steph, Dre Brown, Lauren. What up, Rue? Shout out to Grandma. Loki in the chat. Strong Dad in the chat. Rom Life, Fresh Mike. I see y'all. DJ Protocol. In the house. What's up, Hotep fam? I should probably start there. I should probably start with the Hotep fam. Let me find that tweet. Hold on a second. Colin Rugg deleted the tweet. It was probably fake news. I knew it was fake news when I saw it was Colin Rugg. He always posts fake news. Well, I don't say always. Most of the time he's questionable. He's one of those breaking news guys, you know, where they break news, but they don't really break news. They just break the news. Like the news is broken because of them. You know, these type of grifters, you know, they rush to be first, not accurate. So, yeah, I'm not surprised to see him delete that tweet. So, as I search for the tweet here, what's today? The 29th? So I'm looking for the 28th. Where is it? Here we go. Put this on your screen now. Hopefully it shows up properly. Today's streaming goal is going to be, let's change this to $44. $44 for today's goal. Keep the haters away. Keep the bill collectors away. Appreciate y'all and all the support. So, yesterday after, you know, some of the tiffs that happened, I tweeted this out directly after the stream. I said, I love my community and all of its dysfunction. And after I typed it, before I hit send, I said, I know this is going to be construed as, or the term community is going to be construed as black people. Right? Figured that, right? So the first response I believe I saw was from Danny Mayday. And he says here, must be nice. Why is it that you're allowed to have a community, but I'm not? Right. So keep in mind, there's no race mentioned in my tweet. They just saw black guy and community and go, he must be talking about black people. Like, no, we don't play your race games over here. I'm talking about the Hotep community, a very private community, a very close-knit community, where we don't play your, you know, human games. We are gods over here. We don't play your little human funny games. Keep you going back and forth over nonsense. We have our own dysfunction. And he says, must be nice. Why is it that you're allowed to have community? Now, the lesson here is, this is a very simple lesson, actually. This is very important, especially for white people. Right? So they tell you that you're not allowed to be pro-white. Like, oh, you can be pro-black, but you can't be pro-white. And the funny thing is, there are many people, specifically coming from the Moorish community, that tell people, specifically black people, that don't use the term black and don't use the term white. In fact, I got a friend who, when I'm around him, won't allow me to use the terms black and white. He gets irritated by it because he says, bro, you're way too educated to use those terms. So when I'm around him, out of respect for him, I don't refer to the races based upon these legal color codes, white and black. So not only does this apply to black people, it applies to white people. So the issue is that these color codes are patented, right? Quote unquote patented. They're not literally patented, but they're, you know, it's an unwritten rule that these terms are owned by something, some entity, some governing body owns these terms, right? And they use these terms to classify it, okay? And it could be governmental. So they tell you can't be pro-white. Well, I got to ask you this. Have you ever seen somebody get castigated for saying that they're proud to be Italian? No. You see, these halls called it the Italian-American Hall. You can rent out these halls in New Jersey called the Italian-American Halls. They call themselves Italian-Americans. You often see white people say, why do you have to hyphenate African-American? Why does it have to be African-American? But they don't have that same disdain for the Italians. You see Irish people can come out and say, hey, you know, I'm proud to be Irish. I'm proud to be Polish. I'm proud to be Russian. I'm proud to be English. I'm proud to be German. And this comes back to something that I've told you in the past, is that white and black people suffer from an identity crisis. Their identity has been stripped from them, and it's been stripped from them in order to erase the memory of their past, erase their history. So they're both dealing with an identity crisis. So now what happens is you have white people saying, how come I can't be pro-white? And my response to that is, you shouldn't want to be. Go find out who you are and represent that. So when I talk to my friend who gets irritated when I use these terms, the terms that he'll accept are, for black people, there's several terms, but I prefer to use African. And for white people, I use European. And many white people will say, well, I'm not European, I'm American. And to that, I always say, you're just admitting to me that you're ignorant of the truth of our lives. Okay, you don't know how the world actually works. You haven't done enough studies to understand how this world operates. And if you were to ask them where do, you know, so-called white people come from, they'll tell you, well, Europe, right? So you're European. You're a European. You're from the Yumnaya tribe. You're from the Corded Ware tribe. You are Yumnaya people. It's who you are. Okay. However, because of media propaganda designed to create the illusion that white people in America are somehow different or separate from white people in Europe, they create this division in everyone's mind. It seems to work very well. I think you are designated different from them. They create the Olympic Games and all these different things that just divide humanity globally. So you don't want to claim you're European because Europe is your enemy in many ways, right? Or at least that's how the media teaches it to you. That's how your textbook teaches it to you. Your Houghton Mifflin, your Rockefeller education, it's how it's taught to you. You should not side with Europe. Your ancestors and the forefathers fought for your freedom here in America, even though they loved the crown. Anyway, so what is my remedy? My remedy is find out who you are and represent that. Or create something new. Don't use their words. Don't use their words black. Don't use their words white. Create your own term. Create your own community based upon your own language. And I don't mean, you know, you have to go create a whole new language, but you can use the English language and still create your own language. I mean, that's what dialects are. That's what black people have done with slang. The word doesn't mean exactly what it says. Right? So in a sense, you create your own language. So they look and they see me say community and they think, oh, he's talking about the black community. I'm talking about the Hotep community, something that we created. And that's what's key. You need community creation. Community creation is important. Let's go to the next one. The next one here is from a black woman, Miss Naya Major. She says, I don't love black folk dysfunction. It almost killed me when I was a little kid. Now, because she's dealing with some childhood trauma, I don't want to dig on her. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. Hold on. I got to go to the quote tweets, new post engagement, quotes. Here we go. So she not only posted underneath my tweet, but then under the quote tweets. And again, this is what happens when you deal with trauma. Like when you have trauma, you see the trauma in everything. When I'm not even talking about the black community. So she says again here, I'll read. I don't love black folk dysfunction. It almost killed me when I was a little kid. So we've been trained to believe that when a black person says my community, they're talking about black people because we see it so much. So you jump to conclusions. But again, I'm not talking about black people, I'm talking about the community we created, the Hotep community. Okay. Sophia Johnson responds to her and says, what is on his mind? Hotep Jesus embracing dysfunction is exactly why folks question if black communities actually see a need for repair. Narratives like this embolden the culture, quote unquote, that money cannot fix. In this tweet, he gave cause to reparations hard pass. He done brought reparations and all kind of shit. It's like, ma'am, there's my response. And Elon's Twitter won't bring it up. So, whoops. Let's try and fix that. You post engagement. So I said I was talking about our Hotep community, not the black community. Nothing in my tweet mentioned race. You put that there on your own. He says here, actually, this narrative spread based on an opinion shared, not citing your post. The lack of distinction left your post up to interpretation. I stand corrected. Thank you for clarifying. Influence is a powerful tool. With great power comes great responsibility. And I said to her, I said, it's incumbent upon you to do the due diligence and not run with other people's comments, but thank you for your correction. He said, I did. Instead of only assuming, I tagged you in my repost. That's about as diligent as I can be. Women never really want to take accountability for the actions. We talk about that a lot on this beautiful misogynistic channel of ours. Women very rarely, I should say girls, because when you're a woman, you take responsibility for your action. When you're a girl, you haven't grown up, because there's a lot of grown girls. There's a lot of grown boys, which brings me to my next subject. What is core to being Hotep? What is core to being a Hotep? First of all, what's the average age? Take a guess. What do you think the average age of our community is? Type in the chat. Tell me what you think our average age is in the HOTEP community. What do you think that is? So, core to me, okay, is my brain did a split. I'm sorry. So, on one side, I'm thinking about mental maturity. On the other side, I'm thinking about spiritual maturity. That's the split that my brain just did. It was just like, wait, which way do you want to go, right? Let's start with spiritual maturity. So spiritual maturity is very simply, what would Jesus do? And I'm not talking about Hotep Jesus. It's just like the attitude, like, how would Jesus handle this situation, right? Like, how would God handle this situation? How would a saint handle this situation? And if you looked at every single conflict and said, how would a saint, how would somebody who's Christ-like handle this situation? In that moment, you would invoke the power of a saint, of an angel. You'd have angelic superpowers to manage that situation. So people always talk about, you know, hey, Hotep Jesus, you handle that so well. You handle this so well. You handle. It's because I take a second to first purge myself of the emotions I receive because, like Strong Dad, I'm an emotional person. So when I said Strong Dad was emotional, that's not omitting me. I'm a very emotional person, very, very emotional. The difference is I probably got 10 years on Strong Dad, okay? When I was, you know, Strong Dad's age, you know, probably just like Strong Dad. But as you get older and, you know, I'm on four kids now, he's on his first, right? And one thing kids are going to teach you is patience. Kids are going to teach you patience. And I coach kids in sports and a team. And if that don't teach you patience, I don't know what will, right? So it's just time. Sometimes it just takes time. But the point is that I'm not perfect and I am emotional. And I can put a cap on it or I cannot, right? For example, if you look at the conversation with MoFax before Sonny Johnson, that was me not putting a cap on it. That was me saying, I want people to see the imperfect me. I want people to see the New Jersey me. I want them to see the raw me so that they know that when I don't put a cap on some shit, this is what you might deal with. So it's not a shock when you see it, okay? Everybody tries to put on a mask. Every once in a while, you got to take that bitch off and show people who you really are, right? Then you can see me at other times where I'm able to put that cap on my emotion. Then there's physical maturity, right? And that's just how you handle yourself, period, right? Your mental maturity. This is just how you handle yourself, period. So what I'm saying is, if you are going to be a part of this community, if you are going to represent HOTEP, HOTEP Nation, men of order, especially men of order as well, you got to act like a man at all times, especially publicly. Whatever you do behind closed door, that's on you. I hope you still act like a man behind closed door. But when you are in the public town hall, that is social media especially, you got to grow the fuck up. You got to grow the fuck up, okay? The immaturity must be purged, okay? The immaturity must be purged from you. We are the last hope for people on the planet. There are probably other communities just like us, and we are all collectively the last hope, but we are a piece of that last hope for humanity. Okay? So when you enter this community, there is no, you cannot act like a bitch. Do not act like a bitch. It's not allowed. Do not act like a child. It's not allowed. Just don't do it. Control yourself. Control yourself. Especially if you're not a creator. if you don't create content and you are a part of the Hotep community, this is how most communities usually develop. You have supporters and you have creators, right? The supporters support the creators and the creators create something for the supporters to actually support. And both roles are very important. You can't take one away and not have the other. You just can't do it. You need both, right? Both are equally important, right? So just because somebody's a content creator in Hotep Nation does not make them more important than, let's say, a Heather Harnett or anybody else in this community, okay? So there is no hierarchy to Hotep Nation. The perceived hierarchy in Hotep Nation, as we've begun to form this thing, is for organizational purposes and not hierarchical purposes. Although it takes on a hierarchical form, it is for organization purposes to make decision-making easier. Simply put, that's all it's about. You have a natural proclivity to point out insurgents, then maybe you need to be in charge of watching for insurgents. You have a natural proclivity for physical fitness, then you need to head up physical fitness. And the opinions of both of those will always matter in all matters because you sit at the table. Okay? Now, with that being said, if you are not a content creator, you don't deal with the same problems that we do. You don't deal with the stress of having I don't want to get into specifics of the stress, but you don't deal with our stress, right? There is a lot of stress that comes with being a content creator outside of just creating the content, being judged on your content and having to deal with all the bullshit that comes along with being a content creator, okay? So if you are not a content creator and you're not supporting the content creators, what's your purpose? You got to stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. There's plenty of people to troll on the internet. Don't troll inside your own community. It's retarded. It's immature. Next thing I'm gonna say is, don't think you could be me and Uncle Hotep. I've known Uncle Hotep for close to 10 years now. Don't think you can have that type of relationship with somebody else in Hotep Nation that you've never met before and think you can have that type of rapport. You can't do it. Don't try to be us. We've developed that relationship over the years and we know what lines not to cross with each other because we're both fathers. We're both mature, grown men. You see what I'm saying? Next thing I'm going to say in regard to that is I joke a lot. We joke a lot. But I don't joke with everybody. I don't. I only joke with people I know. Okay? The other part is, well, joking period requires rapport. If you want to joke with somebody, it requires rapport. If you don't have rapport with that person, then don't joke with them, right? It's that simple. Also, some people ain't here for play. Some people ain't here for jokes. Some people are here to be serious, get they shit off, and log the fuck off. So you might think that you could joke with X, Y, and Z, then you joke with this other person and think that that person has to tolerate it because you see other people in Hotep Nation do it. No, that person is an individual, and how they want to be treated is based upon how they want to be treated, their own personal creed, their own personal, you know, set of borders or restraints for the public and everybody else. So don't think just because everybody in Hotep Nation jokes, you could just joke with everybody in Hotep Nation. Nah, go joke with the people you know. Go joke with people you've met before. Go joke with people that joke with you. But don't try to joke with people that ain't here for jokes. You see what I'm saying? We got to tighten the fuck up. It's election season. It's grifting season. Everybody's life is on the line. We got to tighten the fuck up. Nobody's in trouble. It's just that things need to be laid out. As a community grows, it grows, and as it grows, it's going to have growing pains. This is just very normal. But rules sort of need to be set, and things need to be explicated, and structure is going to begin to form. But some people might not know what we are about. So every once in a while, I'm going to have to give a speech and tell people, if you're going to be a part of the community, here's what's expected of you. Because sometimes people don't know what the expectations are. They think it's just throw Hotep in your name, buy Apex, and you down. And it's just like, that's a good start. But Hotep is, at its very core, peace. Satisfaction, to be at rest. It even equals the tomb. So there's a lot of ancient spiritual energy around this concept of Hotep, and it begins at your soul. It begins at your soul, and it begins at your character. It begins at your maturity. It begins at the vibratory frequency you resonate that affects other beings. When people talk about Hotep Jesus, what I hear is, you've helped me get better. You've inspired me. There was a point in my life where I trolled a lot on social media until I understood that, wait, it affects some people in a positive way, but some people in a negative way, which still makes me not a good person. So we got to tighten that the fuck up. All right. Elevate. Go higher. Vibe high. You see what I'm saying? So you have to vibrate higher. That is one of our goals, is to vibrate higher, to become the icon of humanity, the example of what a man and a woman should be. When people say, you know, how should a man be? I want people to say, like the Hoteps. When they say, how should a woman be? I want them to say, like the Hoteps. And then somebody goes, oh, I get it. Without any explanation, I just want people to go, oh, okay, I get it. That makes sense. I love those guys. They're so fucking great. They're fit. They're mature. They create. They generate income. They help people. They help each other. They have families. They take care of their children. The women cook and make sandwiches. So this is what we are. Okay? We're not clowns. We joke, but we are not clowns. We are very serious, professional, some of us academic people. And I want you to understand that, and I want you to start living your life like that. Whether you're part of the Hotep community, is your first time listening, 20th time listening, I want you to take these lessons and live your life like this. Be Christ-like. Teresa, 199, super, thank you. We already hit our goal. You guys are freaking amazing. Jabari Judy says, State of the Hotep Nation speech was definitely needed. Yes, that's all that was. That's a State of Hotep Nation speech. Absolutely. The Martian, I'm emotional. Also, I've learned to control it better. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's very hard. Kelson with the $45 super. Hotep to everyone in attendance. Get those likes up. Word. Kelson, you the man, bro.
This is a Hotep, brother.
You the man, bro. Helped us hit his goal in just one shot. You the man. The Martian. Are North African Arabs also African? No. Listen to what you just said. You said, are North African Arabs also African? No, they're Arab. They come from the Arab Peninsula. It's that simple. We don't have to complicate things. I don't have to actually, I was going to bring up the Arab Peninsula, but you guys know what the Arab Peninsula or the Arabian Peninsula is. or Arabia is where Arabs come from. Arabs do not come from Africa. They come from the Tigris and the Euphrates. And what's the other? What do you call those? When those three meet, it has a name for it. I'm slipping my mind at this point. But that's where they come from. Now, over the centuries, they have invaded and taken over North and East Africa. And people may consider them African based upon governmental designations. But we're talking about race and ethnicity. We're talking about race and ethnicity. We're talking about African and Arab, European, Asian. In fact, there is no Hispanic in my world. There is no Hispanic in my world. In my world, Hispanic speaks Spanish. Spanish comes from Spain. Spain conquered South America. South America was full of indigenous tribes, black tribes, et cetera, et cetera. So the reason why they tan, some of them, not all Hispanics tan, but the reason why they tan is, well, their mixture. In the Strait of Gibraltar, you have the Strait of Gibraltar, you have the Mediterranean Sea. This is why Italians tan, and it's merely because it's an admixture, just a mixture with African. It's just that simple. Arabs are Caucasoids, not African. They might be. Well, technically, Caucasian is not a scientific term. It's an obsolete scientific term, so you can't even call Arabs Caucasoids. It's an obsolete term, scientifically. The Egyptians had their own language before they adopted Arabic. We are talking 4,000 years. Hotep is a part of the longest lasting language in history. This is true. This is true. All right. That being said, let's talk about Mayor Eric Adams. I have a full ass grift bag and I just have a family. We ain't going to get none of this shit. And I'm not really mad at that. A good stream's a good stream. You know what I'm saying? A good stream's a good stream. All of these things are evergreen topics that I see in the back. These are all evergreen topics. So we'll talk about this stuff at some point in the future. Oh, you know what we got to do before I do anything? I got to geek out. Before we talk about Eric Adams, I got to geek out. I'm sorry. You guys are going to have to deal with this. But I got to geek out. I apologize in advance. But Bryson released a record that this record. This record, hold on. We're gonna have to go. Let's go to Lee Chest. He basically. This is funny. Okay, so really fast. So, he releases a record and it's a chess match, and he's rapping and playing chess at the same time. Like he's calling out the moves. So what I want to do is I want to actually put the game on the board here, and. Let's open up the analysis board. Okay, it's perfect on the screen. And I want to play the game and just see what position he set up because I was trying to follow it. Now, the funny thing about this is because the devil was the white pieces and he was the black pieces, people took it as racist. And I didn't even peep that when I first heard the record. I was too busy trying to follow the game. So let's listen.
Bryson, you think you've overcome. The war has only just begun. This is only the beginning of sorrows. How much more can you stand to lose when all is lost? But
chess with the devil, he's white and I'm black. He plays E4, he hasn't revealed his attack. As I play the Karo Khan, his children try to distract with all the sex and all the sin they push on all of these apps. but before I collapse. Perhaps I make my next move my best before I fall off the track. He goes deep forward in advance, that's my chance to get back. Only fans model screaming for me to just chill and relax. A bottle of vodka appears, I used to sip that. I push the sea pond again, I cannot fall for your trap. Saying the bishop hit me in check, I've been waiting on that. Saying the knight protects the king, and you can't get me back. Saying, I'ma live right until them horns go off. He looked at me and said, well, that's your loss. I said, you should look at what that costs. He said, the Lord is not your boss.
What are you willing to give up?
He takes, I take, we make the exchange. He takes my pine on C5, he thought that I let it hang. Bring up the queen, that's a tip, as I yell out God's name. I told him this for Yahweh, so don't think it's a game. He bops with the knight, okay. I pick up the pawn, surface in my grass. Right now, more on the lawn. He brings out the other knight. If it's on, then it's on. I pin his knight to his queen with my bishop, we strong. Devil thought I was the old me. He dead, and my flesh can't control me.
What's that?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit told me that you at my feet, you below me.
Ooh.
He tried to send thoughts my way, but I blocked that. Don't you know I got a wife, Satan? Yeah, I locked that. He tried to entice me with porn on, watch that. And I got the armor on, I'm ready for combat.
He want a queen trade, okay, let's get it.
He cast with the knight as I bring back my bishop. The other knight to E2, I don't know why he did it. I pushed the E-pawn, he pushed.
Wait, hold on, I missed it. Wait, he did what? He took. And then you protect. Okay, he protected. All right, he protected the pawn. All right, and then what'd you do?
To see pawn with the quickness. Let my pawn attack in this knight.
Wait, I missed something here.
He takes with the knight as I bring back my bishop. The other knight to E2, I don't know why he did it.
Oh, he played this move. Yeah, this is interesting. I don't know. What is he trying to do here? What? Maybe here? I don't know.
I push the E-pawn. He pushed the C-pawn with the quickness. Let my pawn attack in his knight. He takes it back to F3. I know that we in the fight. I go to 97. Now I think the timing is right. He takes his knight to G5. Wait, now you on my sights. Push the F-pawn. You gonna give me something for free. He takes the knight back. Well, okay, let me see. Knight to C6. The pawn has to do something. No.
Wait, what? He did what? Yeah, you played that. Uh-huh. And then what'd you do?
Free. He takes the knight back. Well, okay, let.
Oh, he played his knight back. Okay.
Let me see. Knight to C6. The pawn has to do something on E. He brings the bishop out to guard it. Now I'm sensing defeat. G pawn to threaten bishop. Now he has to retreat. To the G square. Push the pawn again. It's my fear to heat. He takes it to D. Okay. Now the pawn looking sweet. Knight takes bishop.
Wait, whoa, wait, what?
He takes it to
D. Oh, you played the pawn move, okay.
D, okay, not a pawn looking sweet. Knight takes, bishop takes, pawn takes, boy, you weak.
Saying what you're doing, cause it's time. And we know who wins, so you might as well resign. Guess not, cause we know you lead the blind.
I'ma live right until them horns go off. He looked at me and said, well, that's your loss. I said, you should look at what that costs. He said, the Lord is not your boss.
Oh, there's no checkmate. It's a really good position, though. It's a good position for Black. Black's definitely winning. He's got a solid center mass. Probably going to castle long. Actually, you don't have to castle. Funny thing about chess is when the queens come off the board, you don't always have to castle. You know, development plans look like this, either here or here, back in this way. Interesting. All right, I just want to geek out real fast. Sorry, y'all. I know I'm losing some of y'all. So yeah, I had to do that. I had to geek out really fast. When I heard the game being played, I was like, oh, I want to do this on stream and follow the game and see what it looks like. All right, so let's go back. Mayor Eric Adams. Shout out to Bryce, a new album out. Demon Slayer. Go stream that. All right. So, Eric Adams. Now, I got to tell you, Eric Adams walked into a brick wall. I should say ran full speed into a brick wall. Whoever this black woman attorney is, somebody give me her name. I love this woman. I don't care if she's a Democrat or not. Oh, is this her name? Is this her here? Ah, shit. She a tether. Ah, she's a Brooklyn tether. What's this? Nigeria? What's this flag? Bahamas? Yeah, Bahamas. Nigerian and Bahamian. We're going to dive into her politics later, but let's take a look.
The Federal Monitor, who is tasked with ensuring that NYPD is following the law, conducted an analysis that happened 8 years ago, but they're still here monitoring what you're doing. And they said that you have brought back stop and frisk policies that are worse than they saw even during the Bloomberg era. But more importantly, they...
Damn, they brought stop and frisk back? Oh, shit.
Analyze the neighborhood safe.
Show me that.
I could show you the report is available, and I know it's been available to you because your spokesperson has commented on it.
I hear the accent. It's that Caribbean Brooklyn accent.
They did an analysis of over 10 precincts.
You can't keep putting
10
out
different precincts.
That
is factual. There's a Federal Monitor reporting to Judge T.
This is like a 140 IQ versus 100 IQ. This is just not a fair fight.
Wayne on it and presenting
and
what, the information. They said that, let me finish so you can peel it back. They conducted an analysis of 10 different precincts, mm-hmm. and of the stops of 10 different precincts, they found that 97% of them, by the way, of the neighborhood safety teams that were disbanded in 2020 because of their disproportionate abuse against Black and Hispanic people that you revived, they analyzed 10 of those different neighborhood safety teams and found that they're conducting 97% of their stops on Black and brown people, and a quarter of them are unconstitutional. That's what the Federal Monitor said, not me.
Yeah, and that's the same.
So what's the play here? So the play here is very simple. The Democrats wanted to tighten it up on crime. Unfortunately, you can't do that with a white face. So what they do is when they want to tighten up crime, they put a black face in. This is kind of a new strategy for them. But back in the day, they could, you know, get away with just doing it in a white face because we lived in a very white dominant society. Well, more dominant than it is now, I guess, in some way, at least psychologically, right? Where people are pushing back against racism and things like that. So, you know, the Democrats are like, all right, we're going to have to put a black face out there to go, you know, round these Negroes up so that it softens the blow, you know, and they draw less criticism. Otherwise, what'll happen is they'll go, oh, we have a racist mayor, but because he's a black mayor, you can't say he's racist. So it sort of takes that card off the table. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's find another clip. I'm not going to watch the whole interview. If it was a 140 IQ versus a 140 IQ, I would have watched the entire thing. But I can't sit here and just watch him get slaughtered for 40 minutes. I'm going to get bored. All right, here's a good longer clip. We'll probably settle with this clip and then I'll fill the show in with some other stuff afterwards. We'll get off of it. Let's pull it up.
Subway system. We have 6 felonies a day on our subway system out of 4 million riders.
Mm-hmm.
Look at those numbers. Mm-hmm. Our subway system is a safe system. And we put in additional 1,000 officers to do the high visibility to deal with the reality, because safety is not only felt, it's perceived. Mm-hmm. So those 6 felonies, we got to get rid of. We're clear on that. But people are back on our subway system. But when you deal with specifically congestion prices, a lot of people don't realize these are the city streets, but we had no authority on it.
Mm-hmm.
Albany passed the law and turned it over to the MTA. This is the MTA's baby. They should have allowed the city to be able to control how congestion pricing was done. So that $15, we were able to fight to get $100 million to deal with the environmental impact in the Bronx. We were able to fight to get those who are shift workers to get a discount, those who make less than $50,000 to get a discount. But this was a bill that came out of Albany.
So you don't agree with it, or do you agree with it?
No, I agree we got to deal with something with the congestion in our city, but you don't pass on the cost of that on low-income New Yorkers mm-hmm. or those who have to come to Manhattan. You may have to have going to your chemotherapy, and this is the doctor you have to go to. You should not be hit over there because
of people that live in the area. They're saying that people that actually live in the area, when they drive, if they got to drive uptown to the doctor or they got to drive, they get charged too.
Yeah, but I'm not feeling with people that live in the area. Mm-hmm. Central Manhattan, south of 60th Street, has the best transportation system on the globe. You got crosstown trains, you have south and north trains.
I think you're right that there is a difference between perception and fact and how people feel about safety and the way people feel about the subways. And I think it's your own rhetoric about the subways that has a lot to do with why people feel scared, despite the fact that millions of people ride the subway every day without incident. But you've continued to fearmonger about crime in the subways. You've added 2,000 police officers, despite the fact that you've acknowledged that the subways are not that dangerous. And I think there is, you're right. And poor New Yorkers should not be the ones who bear the brunt of this, but they will if they already have the subway being turned into a place that they have to fear, that there's a National Guard, that there's a hyper visibility of police, that they're trying to stop people with certain records from even using them, and now you have this congestion price. So how do you reconcile that?
Well, let's go before. First of all, I would love to give me the quotes on my rhetoric, because I'm lost on that. Can you give me the quotes?
Oh, that you fearmonger about the subways?
Yeah, give me
you've consistently done that since the day one of your administration. One of the first things you did was add 1,000 officers to the subway because you claimed that the subways are unrideable. You and Hochul did this and said how dangerous it is, and you recently did that when you deployed the National Guard.
Sister, but that wasn't my question, Queen. My question was, what was my fear mongering? What did I say?
You continuously say, I could point to a number of videos and quotes and everything from you, but you've said repeatedly that the subways are dangerous, that New York is dangerous. You complain about crime relentlessly. So what I'm saying to you is, if you are saying that New York is the safest city, it's one of the safest big cities in this country, which is true, and you're recognizing that the subway stations are, in fact, not half as dangerous as they're presented to be, I'm saying, how do you reconcile how your rhetoric has played into people's fear?
Okay. And not even just rhetoric, I would say the actions, because she's right. If you tell us...
Which is different.
But it's the same thing, though. If you put 1,000 police officers in the subway, 2,000 police officers in the subway, that don't make us feel safe. We think something's wrong if you're doing
that. Let me peel back again, because you got to always peel back this stuff, you know, because oftentimes how you depict in the media that I don't control is how people interpret you. I didn't put the National Guards in the subway. The governor did.
I know, what you said.
But you said, Eric.
You stood with Governor Kathy Hochul, and you co-signed that decision. You did. And I'm not saying this as someone who's following social media. I'm saying that as an attorney in the city and an activist who follows everything that you do.
Yeah, I'm glad you do. Because then you realize how I turned the city around if you follow everything I do. You realize
I would say no, but we could get to that next.
Yeah. Loosen up your time, man. It'll be a long day.
Listen, and I enjoy every moment
of
it.
I want to go to her profile. I want to vet her. Let's see what she said. Let's do Trump and see what she said about Trump. Let's just start there.
Let me tell you how abolitionists lose all principle when it comes to Donald Trump, right? My best friend over here grinning from ear to ear at Trump getting indicted tomorrow. So she's like, no, I want to see him in cuffs. I'm like, yes, it's happening tomorrow. She's like, no, I don't want him to surrender himself. I want them to issue a no-knock warrant, kick his door in, smarter kick him in the chest. But really, no.
Okay, she's got personality. She's got a sense of humor. Okay, so she's definitely an anti-Trumper. All right, let's see what she says about Biden. Let's see. See where she's at. America loves electing ancient white men who live inexplicably long, so I'm not going to say Joe Biden's too old to run again. However, I did assess the ways he, Trump, and DeSantis are all deeply invested in propaganda and mass incarceration, okay? I generally understand the fear of Joe Biden losing to Trump and the danger of Republican administration poses, but it's another thing entirely to say Joe Biden, a man financially aiding a genocide, is doing a remarkable job by doing so. And I say without malice towards you. All right. So she's She's on, so she's pro-Palestine. And I'm not going to say pro-Palestine, but she definitely ain't choosing Israel. 30 years ago, he says right here, say no to D.C. crime bill. 30 years ago, Joe Biden gave us a 1994 crime bill responsible for mass incarceration of so many black people. Now D.C.'s black woman mayor introduced a new crime bill that would allow cops to kill suspects, arrest anyone in groups of two or more. Okay, 2020, she says here, I want to be clear, you should vote for Biden and Kamala. It's a lie to pretend there's no meaningful difference between them and Trump. You just reserve the right to not be excited about it. All right, so she was wrong on that. She's a black woman. I kind of expect, you know, most black women pretty much predisposed to the Democratic Party. All right, now last test. Now this is the final test. I'm going to put Hotep in. This is the only thing that matters. What is her opinion on Hotep? We didn't check out what she felt about Trump. Any predictions in the chat? Any predictions on the chat? So what she felt about Trump. You saw what she felt about Biden. How do you think? Thumbs up if you think it's going to be positive. Negative. Thumbs down. Zero if you think it's neutral. What do you think is going to happen? I'm scared. I don't want to find out. Shout out to my Rumblers Rumbling. I see you. Here it goes. I don't want to see. Oh, please, Lord. We're about to say a prayer first. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Mother Heavenly Mother in Heaven, please make sure she's not anti-Hotep. Please make sure she didn't say anything crazy about the Hotep. Amen. Amen, Hotep. Let's see. Oh, I don't know what blows me more, coons or women who defend misogyny and Hotep shit. Every defense attorney, including myself, knew Tory going to trial was a bad idea, and all his defenses were nonsensical, but he preferred to follow the legal strategies presented by Hotep headquarters.
Oh, no.
I knew it. I knew it. That's why I was afraid, because I knew it. I know it. This is 2023, too. I knew it. There always seems to be a problem trying to like slash support celebrities. It always feels like they always turn out to be a Hotep, a coon, a misogynist, a racist, a homophobe. Oh, no. No. Oh, no. All right. Let's see how far gone she is. Let's type in trans. Because right now I'm just getting angry black woman from her. Oh, God. Imagine your trans employee quitting because of your rampant transphobia and still misgendering them. Oh, baby. No. I just saw that ignorant transphobic video Jess Hilarious put out, and enough. Cis women are not the only people who experience menstruation. So do trans men and binary people, but it's irrelevant because your womanhood is not threatened by the inclusion of others. Oh no. I want to cry. We need a Hotep University ASAP. We need a Hotep. Yeah, she's excommunicated. Yeah. Yeah. We need a Hotep University ASAP because college is like damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? If you don't go, you don't have enough education to apply for certain positions. If you do go, you're educated enough to apply for those positions, but you're fucking brainwashed with all this fucking liberal progressive bullshit. So now you're just a smart idiot. instead of being an idiot that's smart. It's not, I can't say it's black women. What I can say is that black women are some of the most, they call it educated. I'll say believe in formal education highly. They highly regard it. They think it means something. They think that paper on the wall means something. And they enroll in college at a higher rate than most people, I believe. At least that was a stat from a few years back. They enroll in college at a higher rate per capita than any other race. But all that means is that they're just signing up to get indoctrinated, and all these schools have been infiltrated. So for people to understand what happened was, I've done this before. I'm going to do it really fast this time. You got to understand what happened with the black community. And in order to do that, we got to start right here. So the black community had leaders like Khalid Muhammad. Okay. Now, Khalid Muhammad, as you can see here, dies in 2001, right? And then what emerges from the rubble is a gentleman by the name of Barack Obama. And Barack Obama takes office in 2009, okay? So some years later. And basically what happened was there was an eradication of, let's see if there's, I think we saw this last time, that there's a wiki page for this. At least I thought we had one. How did I find that again? There was like a page on, so we had something called, you know, the conscious movement. And out of the conscious movement, you get like five different factions. You get your Hoteps. That's basically Egypt is king. You get your Moors, and that's basically the Moorish Empire is king. You get your Hebrew Israelites, and that's basically the 12 tribes are king or some shit. Then you got your five percenters, your Nuwapians, and then, you know, all your Pan-Africanness, right? Yeah, you got your Pan-Africanness. And sometimes these groups share a Pan-African view. But this is very much a community that debated and shared scholarly materials. And there was growth that was happening with the black mind. And there was growth happening with education and self-education. Now, however, these groups were /are homophobic. I would say all five of these groups. The conscious movement as a whole was quote unquote homophobic. They didn't go out and actively, you know, try to attack homos. Some of them maybe even been cordial to homosexuals, but we weren't accepting that shit. Okay, just like ancient Egypt wasn't accepting that, the conscious community wasn't accepting that as a norm. Okay, as a norm. And other things that could not intercept our groups, right? Other ideologies of progressivism that would not intercept our groups. The other thing about these groups were they were highly capitalist. Okay, this conscious movement was capitalist. They believed in production and exchange, right? And then Barack Obama comes along, and things are still budding. Things are still doing well. And then we got smacked with Black Lives Matter, right? And Black Lives Matter is where everything took a turn, right? Where it started off as a slogan. Many of us got behind it. In the early days, I got behind it because it was just a slogan. And then somebody stole the slogan and turned it into an organization. And I remember the first time seeing that. Well, actually, the first time I recognized it was an organization was when I was online spewing my rhetoric, and somebody came to me, and it was the day I got canceled for questioning DeRay, right? And I got canceled, and I kept clicking on the profiles of people that were like trying to cancel me, and all of it had like the rainbow flag. And I'm like, this is black people with the rainbow flag? Like, damn, it's a lot of gay motherfuckers. And all of them had Black Lives Matter and BLM in their bio. I'm like, fuck. And then somehow I landed on the Black Lives Matter website, and that's when I first pointed out that, and I showed you this video the other day, Black Lives Matter is the gay agenda. This is when I, you know, what I discovered in 2015. And I started telling people about it. Back then, you know, even my own family told me I was crazy. Today, my family's like, yo, what's up with all the gay shit? And I'm like, yeah, I told you this like a decade ago that this is what was coming. This was coming from Black Lives Matter. And I told you a decade ago, do not support Black Lives Matter because it's not for black people. It's a gay movement. And they sort of did a bait and switch where you thought you were supporting Black Lives Matter, which was the murder of black men. But when you check the website, it said the first thing I saw under villages section, it said mothers, parents, children. And you know me, I'm a very, when I read, I look for details, and I'm detail oriented. And I saw, I was like, wait, why didn't they say fathers? Or they could have just said parents and children, right? They said mother, parents, and children. And they got clicking around, and I saw trans in there. And I was like, oh shit. This is not that. This is not black people. But the damage had already been done. Millions of dollars, billions of dollars had already been dumped into this organization. People had already bought into DeRay McKesson. They already bought into Sean King. And the black mind got co-opted. And in order to do that, they unleashed a black feminist contingent in cooperation with Hollywood to destroy this thing called Hotep, because they knew that the people in the conscious community use that word Hotep. So they tried to castigate it and denigrate it and destroy that term. And we reclaimed it and we brought it back to it. But as you can see, so what we're facing is a billion-dollar agenda to swap out the black mind. They took the black mind, or the African mind, they took this mind and swapped it out with a Black Lives Matter mind. And the way they did that was let's not say that. Let's just say some of our leaders passed away and died. Some disappeared. And then they gave us new leaders, Barack Obama, the black community sort of. Fell asleep because they said, oh, we got a black president, so all is well now. And we sort of fell asleep at the wheel when Barack Obama became president. And while all this is happening, you start to have a revolution in the university that was pushing this cultural Marxism in the universities. So the kids were going in with one mindset and leaving, believing that the struggle of the African diaspora was a shared struggle with people with different sexual preference traits, people with different gender traits, and conflated that. And then what they did was they began this campaign of, if you don't support this trans, if you don't support this gay, then you're not pro-black at all. So it sort of superseded everything. When really it should be, hey, let's start at, are you pro-black? Cool. Then maybe the next layer you go, all right. But what I used to say was, you know, if you make them put respect on your black, you ain't got to make them put respect on your gender or your sexual preference. And honestly and truly, the black community never really had a homophobic problem. We weren't accepting of it. Conscious community was warning people about the agenda coming, but we weren't like actively attacking gays. That was more of a white people thing. In fact, I think it was the Genovese family. Yeah. So it was the Italians that protected the gays first. The Italians protected the gays first. These are just historical facts. Let's not say first, but they were one of the groups that protected the gays. And you can see right here, it says Anna became the Italian-American mobster's second wife just a few weeks after her first husband was mysteriously murdered. Now, apparently her husband found out she was a lesbian and, I think hit her or something like that. And then he was mysteriously murdered. It says the businesswoman ran drag clubs and gay bars in Manhattan, reportedly having a number of lesbian affairs. And this is Anna Genovese, okay? But it was the Genovese, in New York, it was illegal to practice homosexuality at this time. And it was the Genovese family that basically said, all right, you got those laws in the book, but when the gays go downtown and start partying, you better not shut that shit down because, well, we're the mob and you know what the mob does. So this concept of homophobia was actually a government thing. It was not a people thing. It was a government thing. People generally, as we all know from anecdotal evidence, tend to be sensible most of the time and tend not to really care, you know, what you do behind closed doors. It was the government that's always concerned with what you do behind closed doors. So they had buggery laws on the books. Et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, that's how we got here. Francisco Sanchez, he says, first rule of any occupation is that all movements are for for power retention. Right. Those who control nations switch from one pawn, feminism, to another, racism, to keep the sheep confused. Normalcy is a fallacy to these people. Yeah, well said. Well said. So, it's sad to see, you know, such an exquisite takedown of Eric Mayer by this woman, but I'd love to have a conversation. I'd love to have a conversation with her. Try to, like, level with her. I don't think I can. She seems like she carries too much animus, but I would love to try. I think it would be Let's do a vote. Let's do a vote really fast. What's next? Phone calls. Drudge. Or more grift bag. Let's see what let's see how the audience wants to continue this show. Victor, what up, yo? It seems black men are against the gay shit, but overall, would you say the black community is a matriarchy? Overall, I would say the black community is a matriarchy. Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I would definitely say so. Absolutely, I would say so. Want more HJ breakdowns? Everybody's voting more grift bag. More grift bag? It's heavy on the grift bag. All right. Host her versus Sunny? Absolutely not. Sunny's going to slaughter her. I'd have to manage the conversation myself. I'd have to hold myself together. So there's no way I'd be able to hold myself and Sunny together. All right, let's go in the grift bag. Audience says they want more grift bag. Let's give them more grift bag. I should make y'all go big brain. Let's start here. Let's go right here. I love this. This clip is absolutely phenomenal. Almost brings tears to my eyes. Let's take a look. Whoops, sorry, I'm in the wrong window. Let's pull this up right here, and then we'll press. Hold on. just want y'all to notice the fez. You see the fez right there? Where you see enlightened black people, you will always see a Hotep. And that's why I don't take steps to denigrate Moors. I respect all of the intellectual practices of the African diaspora. And I like the Moors. I don't agree with them on everything, and I don't follow everything they say, but I appreciate them. You'll always see. And so this would be a Hotep, right? This would be a, I would call it a Moorish Hotep. That's what I would call it. Now, he would not, maybe not appreciate that or understand it even because, well, we live on the internet and he probably does not. He probably lives on Facebook, maybe.
Red, go red. No more blue, no matter who.
So they're chanting, no more blue, no matter who. No more blue, no matter who, is what they're chanting. And in a way, this breaks my heart. In a way, this breaks my heart. Because I just hope they never get Twitter. Like, I know these people are older, so they're never going to be on Twitter, which is, I'm just so thankful they don't have a Twitter. Because if they got a Twitter, this wouldn't be possible, right? And that's why I say, like, you know, Republicans, oh, black people don't know, it's too stupid. They keep voting Republican. And I'm like, we're not stupid. We know what's going on. The only people that are stupid are the Republicans. The Republicans are stupid. Black people aren't stupid. We vote for who we see. Where's the Republican candidate? Where are they? You know how many black people go to vote and they say there's no Republican on the ballot? And the people are like, oh, they don't vote. They didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice. You didn't run them. You didn't give them no money. I just showed you the other day that the Republican candidate had less than 500 followers on Twitter for Baltimore. So they're talking about he's a DEI mayor. I'm like, everybody that ran was black. How was that DEI? Everybody that ran, that was black. So it just breaks my heart because a lot of the grifters, obviously they're three-letter agency ops, have chosen a racist path over a righteous path. Let's go back in the back. We got more. We got more. The people said they want more grift back. We got more. So I thought that was beautiful. I just hope they never get a Twitter. People are asking for the big brain stuff. So let's give them the big brains. Check this shit out. I didn't connect some dots, y'all. I connected some dots today. And I connected it like several hours after I posted this tweet. So I titled this post here, Crypto Cringe in Congress. So House reps want to combine the anti-CBDC bill with other bills that seek to regulate stablecoins in the crypto industry, according to Politico. And I said this is a huge blunder created by Democrats whose only argument is, but China does it. And I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to bring the article up so you don't say, you know, Hotep Jesus, you're making this stuff up. You know, you misinterpreted. No, I'm going to show you right here, right in the article. Let's go here. So you see right here, it says, now half a dozen lawmakers, aides, and lobbyists say House conservatives are discussing a vote on the legislation alongside McHenry's flagship crypto bills, which would govern stablecoins and a broader crypto industry. They want to potentially maybe couple these bills together. So it says one proposed plan, move Emmer's CBDC legislation to the House floor at the same time as one or both of the crypto bills, said one Republican lawmaker. The thinking is that without it, any Republican not in the House Financial Services Committee will shy away from voting yes on crypto out of concerns. That's right here. If the bills are combined, okay, I'm not making this stuff up, not misinterpreting. It says if the bills are combined, it would risk isolating the few Democrats who are supportive of McHenry's other legislation. So basically, it's like some Democrats are like, we need to clamp down on crypto regulation, right? SBF, FTX, we got to clamp down on crypto regulation. But some of those Democrats are also like, we're anti-CBDC, right? This is the House we're dealing with, not the idiots in Senate. This is CBDC, right? So they're like, we're against the CBDC. So what they want to do is they want to, or potentially could combine the bill, right? Now let's look at what Democrats say before I tell you my epiphany. Hold on, let me find it. No. Or is it in the, it might be in the other article. Yeah, it's in the Forbes article. Hold on. Right here. Let's go to the Forbes article. So it's in the Forbes article. This is titled CBDC Prohibition is Gaining Momentum. And even Forbes, like, that's not a fair headline. This is a propaganda headline. Because that's not what's happening here. This looks like a shot in the foot to the CBDC bill. Let me show you what Democrats are saying. First of all, look at the image they use on this article. CBDC prohibition is gaining momentum, and the article uses a symbol of the Chinese flag. Right? Which is kind of clever from the person that did it, because he's trying to say, you know, we're basically becoming China. So right here, Rep. Stephen Lynch, Democrat out of Massachusetts, thinks that stopping the Fed from launching a CBDC does not equate to sticking our head in the sand, which is a good point. Hold on. Just want to make sure you guys see the argument that the Dems are making. It's a really shitty argument, too. Hold on. Let me put this in. All right, let's go here. Yeah. All right, so again, they try to compare us to the ECB, European Central Bank, and it's true the European Central Bank has not established any framework. They are establishing a rule book, that's true. Then they say some shit about it's a fundamental right. That's the fucking financial inclusion bullshit. All right, it's probably in another article. But basically, the common Democrat argument is everybody else is doing it, so we should. And that's never a good reason. That's never a good reason to do anything. Oh, we should do it because such and such is doing it. Well, what are the benefits? You know, you can weigh the pros and cons here or not. All right, let's go back in the back. I got to play this clip for you. This clip is fucking class. Clip is fucking class. Let's pull this up. I love this. This is South America here, Guyana. Shout out to my Guyanese people.
Let's take a big picture look at what's going on here. Over the next decade, two decades, it is expected that there will be $150 billion worth of oil and gas extracted off your coast. It's an extraordinary figure, but think of it in practical terms. That means, according to many experts, more than 2 billion tons of carbon emissions will come from your seabed, from those reserves, and be released into the atmosphere. I don't know if you as a head of state...
Now, I'm going to show you. Yesterday, somebody asked me, what's black, black? The gentleman here is black, black, right? And Europeans have a certain decorum about them where they believe that you should always handle situations politely and all this other shit. And they don't believe in raising their voice and all this other bullshit that came out of London and the Puritan experience. But black, black doesn't operate like that. And I don't think it should. Fuck all that shit. We come with fire and brimstone.
They went to the COP in Dubai.
Let me stop you right there. Do you know that Guyana has a forest forever that is the size of England and Scotland combined? a forest that stores 19.5 gig.
They got a forest the size of England and Scotland combined. Remember I was telling you about how small fucking England is and that whole island? It's really a small little piece of shit, which is their advantage to controlling the globe. Having small numbers is actually an advantage because you have small numbers, it's easier to organize. Let's go back.
Gigatons of carbon, a forest that we have kept alive, a forest that we have kept alive.
Does that give you the right? Does that give you the right to release all of this carbon?
Again, just rude. You know, the British, they have all this fucking decorum about themselves. But the moment you're about to make a really good point, they got to cut you off. So they practice, you know, the British, they practice a certain decorum about themselves up until a certain point when you're about to create some disillusionment.
Does that give you the right to lecture us on climate change? I am going to lecture you on climate change. Because we have kept this forest alive that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon that you enjoy, that the world enjoy, that you don't pay us for, that you don't value, that you don't see a value in, that the people of Guyana has kept alive. Guess what? We have the lowest deforestation rate in the world. And guess what? Even with our greatest exploration of the oil and gas resource we have now, we will still be net zero. Guyana will still be net zero. With all our exploration, we'll still be net zero.
Powerful words, Mr. President.
I'm not completed as yet. I am not finished as yet. Mm. I am just not finished as yet. Because this is a hypocrisy that exists in the world. The world in the last 50 years has lost 65% of all its biodiversity. We have kept our biodiversity. Are you valuing it? Are you ready to pay for it? When is the developed world going to pay for it? Or are you in the pockets? Are you in the pockets of those who have damaged the environment? Are you in the pockets? Are you and your system in the pockets of those who destroyed the environment through the Industrial Revolution and now lecturing us? Are you in their pockets? Are you paid by them? Are you
Are you paid by them? These corrupt Englishmen destroy everything in their path. Then the minute you discover you got some oil, they like, hey, don't you start pulling that oil out the water. Don't you start drilling. Hey, now, we don't want competition. We want to be the only ones. We're trying to go electric. Don't you start increasing your GDP. Crazy. I love that clip. That clip is classic. Shout out to Haram Life. Haram Life put that on my desk today. Shout out to Haram Life. Appreciate you. Did I miss the super chat? No, I got him. Thought I missed. All right, let's check the drudge. What else do I have in the bag? Hold on, let me just see what else I got in the bag and see if I'm in the mood to talk about that shit. Is this something I really want to talk about in here? Let me see. Nah, I really don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. Ooh, we could talk about this. Now, it's going to be some pauses in here. I'm going to have to look up some shit. But Elon Musk is full of shit. Okay? Elon Musk is full of fucking shit. I forgot about this one. I could do 2-3 hours on this. I'm going to try and do this as fast as possible. So this is just pure cap. This is what Mo Facts would call white supremacy. I would call it either ignorance or blatant lying. Okay? And this has nothing to do with black people. It just has to do with the fact that it's just false history. Okay. And this is also bloviation. This is pandering to the red whites because they're too ignorant to know the truth about the world. They haven't done their studies. They don't know how the Western Civ was developed. So they don't know shit from shit. Okay. So Elon Musk says here, modern Western civilization has extraordinary empathy compared to its power. Oh, fucking God. The that first line got me like, yo. Even when he tries to say compared to its power, it's still a false statement. Empathy? Western civilization doesn't even have empathy for its own citizens. Western civilization doesn't give a fuck about the people in England. They don't give a fuck about the people in the United States. They don't give a fuck about the people in Canada. Canada's living through a communist regime under Trudeau. What empathy are you talking about? You're talking about the empathy that came through with the pandemic with fake news? Like, wait, what the fuck is he talking about? Then he goes on to say this is arguably its greatest weakness. What? Let's go to what he's trying to refer to. Let's because I hadn't looked at this, right? So it looks like some back and forth here with Gad said. So let's try and, you know, be fair here. All right. So freeloading migrant influencer mocks U.S. taxpayers who work like slaves while waving cash in latest videos. All right, so if we're starting there, that tells you right there, that's not empathy for Western civilization. That's not empathy, period. If you go to a foreign nation and fuck it up and then say, hey, but you can come stay with me. Like, imagine I come to your house and I go, I walk in your house, I blow the shit up, I fuck your shit up, I steal a bunch of your shit, and I go, hey, I got a bedroom in the back. I got a bedroom in the basement. I got a bedroom in the attic. I mean, it's the least fucking thing I can do. Gassass said, this is not unlike when I've previously been told by noble Arabic-speaking immigrants that the West is akin to a woman to be mounted. Wow. I wrote an article recently on cultural theory of mind, specifically that the West lacks it. The West thinks that some of the values it views as laudable will be perceived by others similarly, whereas in many instances, these are viewed as signs of weakness, ripe for exploitation. Elon says, I favor empathy, but the assumption that empathy will always be reciprocated is false. Shep Joel here says, and there are many parasitical strategies that use a person's empathy against them. Sometimes these develop into entire political / ideological movements where the population's empathy becomes an attack vector that the unscrupulous can exploit for gain. That sounds like African people to me, but let's continue. So let's break down what Elon here says. He says, with the nuclear bomb, America could have subjugated every nation on Earth with ease. Oh, my fucking God. Yo, this dude just know y'all dumb. He knows the red whites are dumb. Which is why he can say shit like this. And then the rest of them in the comments, you know, they just want to retweet from Elon. So they'll just ride with it. You know what I mean? They suck Elon's dick for Elon bucks and, you know, bow to the master. America could have subjugated every nation on Earth with ease with the nuclear bomb. I thought that's what they did. I could have sworn that's what they did. Hitler and Stalin would certainly have done so. Now this is where things about to get spicy. Okay. Instead, America helped rebuild Germany and Japan. This is where we're going to spend our time right here. America helped rebuild Germany and Japan. Okay. There is no historical precedent for a nation with so much power helping rather than destroying its defeated enemy. Okay. Now, the reason why he's able to get this off is because people don't understand civilizations. They don't understand war. They don't understand conquering. And this is something that has been developed over many millennia. So you have two cases, right? You have the barbarian and then you have the sophisticated warrior tribe, right? So the barbarian tribe seizes a village, burns everything to the ground, books, people, women, children, crops, everything, burn it to a smoldering mist. Okay. The sophisticated warrior tribe says, We defeat their army. Then we co-opt their army and make those POWs a part of our contingent. We may even make them their own contingent. The Arab world is known, notorious for doing this. They take captured slaves and then they send them into war to fight, right? And some of them can earn their freedom. So this is a sophisticated warrior tribe, right? They also say, and Alexander the Great was good at this as well, as he was very good at winning the war while maintaining the culture of whoever it is that he was conquering, right? In fact, so much so that his own people started to hate how he would take on the culture of the other civilizations, whether it was Egypt or Persia, whatever it was. He took in, he respected everybody's culture, and he left things intact. When he fought Darius, right? Darius' people left his wife behind. Alexander didn't kill the wife. He married her, which is an embarrassment to Darius. But he kept the wife, and I think it was the sister or something like that. He kept them well-fed and whatever, but he told his people, they are royalty in their land. We are going to treat them with respect. This is sophisticated warrior tribes. Let's take a selfish look at it. When you conquer a land and they have industry, it could be agriculture, it could be mining, whatever it may be. If they have industry existing, does it make sense to destroy that industry, or does it make sense to co-opt it and own it? The answer is obvious. It's a rhetorical question. You want to keep the society intact so that you're not expending resources restarting that civilization. If I level Japan to the ground and there's nobody left, I now have to repopulate. I now have to restart the agriculture. I have to restart each and every industry. Not only that, I lose the skills of the people in that land. I lose the wisdom of the people in that land. The people that are say, hey, if you go too far this way, you're going to get hit with a tsunami, so don't build that far. You're going to lose the religious intelligence, the intellectual intelligence of the people. So when the United States does what it does, it understands as an intellectual warrior tribe, a warrior tribe with wisdom, that you do not eradicate your enemies. You take possession of them. This is not empathy. This is selfishness. This is part of colonization. Otherwise, you have to do too much work to reap the benefits of the war you just won. Why would you win a war and then destroy the spoils of your war? That makes absolutely no sense, Elon Musk. Why are you lying to people, you fucking charlatan? Now let's dive into books. Intellectual capital, there you go. Now let's dive into the books. Okay? America helped rebuild Japan, Germany and Japan. I want to paste that right into the thing. Let's go here. I want to just paste that right into Google, that exact statement, just to see what Google says, right? I want to see all the fake news. Then we'll dissect it little by little. After World War II, the United States helped rebuild the defeated nations of Germany and Japan into new democratic nations. Into new democratic nations. Basically, they want to install democracy. The rebuilding took many years and cost billions of dollars. These efforts are the two great success stories in nation building. Okay. Let's go here. How did the U.S. help rebuild Germany? The Marshall Plan. Everybody see that? Let's hold on. Pull something up. Let's pull it up. Hold on. Hold on. I'm looking for something. I told you I'm going to need some time. And hold on. Let me just do a quick. Okay. I mean, there's so much here. I don't even. All right. I'm going to just throw this on your screen and we're just going to go right into it. My book. Oh, you can see it. It's on the screen. Boom. Perfect. So it's my book, Patriot Report, Unmasked Conspiracy and Money War, the section on World War II. I could probably just drop us off anywhere in here and it's going to be something that'll debunk what the fuck he said. Let's start here. January 23rd, diary entry by Ambassador Dodd questions the Standard Oil and Germany connection. Here's what he says. The Standard Oil Company of New York, the parent company of the vacuum, has spent 10 million marks in Germany trying to find oil resources and building a great refinery near the Hamburg Harbor. Engelbrecht is still boring wells and finding a good deal of crude oil in the Hanover region, but he had no hope of great deposits. He hopes Dr. Schacht will subsidize his company, as he does some German companies that have found no crude oil. The vacuum spends all its earnings here, employs 1,000 men, and never sends any of its money home. I could give him no encouragement. Okay, let's hop into something else here. Quigley. I don't even know what this says. Let's get into it. The apex of this is Carol Quigley, Tragedy and Hope. The apex of the system was to be the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, a private bank owned and controlled by the world's central banks, which were themselves private corporations. Each central bank in the hands of men like Montague Norman of the Bank of England, Benjamin Strong of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, Charles Rist of the Bank of France, and Hallmar Schacht of the Reichsbank sought to dominate its government by its ability to control treasury loans, to manipulate foreign exchanges, to influence the level of economic activity in the country, and to influence cooperative politicians by subsequent economic rewards in the business world. Let's continue. I just want to make sure we get... This is from... Elimination of German Resources for War, hearings before a subcommittee of the Subcommittee on Military Affairs. Okay, this is from Anthony Sutton, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Let's see what it says. The United States accidentally played an important role in the technical arming of Germany. Although the German military planners had ordered and persuaded manufacturing corporations to install modern equipment for mass production, neither the military economists nor the corporations seemed to have realized to full extent what that meant. Their eyes were opened when two of the chief American automobile company built plants in Germany in order to sell in the European market without the handicap of ocean freight charges and high German tariffs. American companies setting up in Germany. Germans were brought to Detroit to learn the techniques of specialized production of components and of straight line assembly. When they saw what caused further reorganization and refitting of other key German war plants. No, what they saw caused further reorganization and refitting of other key German war plants. So when they came here, well, I'll just continue reading because it says it here. The techniques learned in Detroit were eventually used to construct the dive bombing Stukas at a later period. IG Farben representatives in this country enabled a stream of German engineers to visit not only plane plants, but others of military importance, in which they learned a great deal that was eventually used against the United States. In 1934, Germany only produced 300 tons of natural petroleum products and less than 300,000 tons of synthetic gasoline. a decade later with the transfer of hydrogenation patents and technology from Standard Oil of New Jersey to IG Farben, Germany produced about 6.5 million tons of oil, of which 85% was synthetic oil using the Standard Oil hydrogenation process. Standard Oil of New Jersey, state where I live. I'm going to find one more piece, and then I'll summarize this. Then we'll go to phone calls. This is in my book, The Patriot Report, Unmasking the Conspiracy of Money War. It took me 2 years to prepare. It's here. It's out. Go get it. HotepJesus.com.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Let's see what else we got. That's pretty damning, but I'm looking for something really, really. Okay, here's a testimony during one of the hearings. Is it true that while the delay in divulging the BUNA, which is the synthetic rubber process, the BUNA processes to American rubber companies was taking place, were in the meantime keeping IG well informed in regard to the synthetic rubber development in the U.S.? Yes. So that at all times, IG was fully aware of the state of development of the American synthetic rubber industry? Yes. This is during the war. Black Falcon said Hitler wouldn't have conquered Europe without the help of U.S. companies and banking. Wall Street financed Hitler. In 1934, testimony to the U.S. Congress of House of Representatives Special Committee on Un-American Activities, Investigation of Nazi Propaganda Activities, and Investigation of Certain Other Propaganda Activities, Lee confirmed that IG Farben was affiliated with the American firm. He says the American IG is a holding company with directors, such people as Edsel Ford, Walter Teagle, one of the officers of the Citibank. Citibank, still top three banks in the United States right now, if not the world. Let's close this for now and let's summarize. It's damning. I mean, we could do this all day. Like I said, I could do 2 hours just on this. But let's go back. So here Elon Musk lies to us. And he says America helped rebuild Germany. The blatant lie. It's not even the omission. It's a lie. America built Germany. And after the war, went to go collect. Now, we just spoke about earlier, when you're a sophisticated warrior tribe, what do you want to do? You want to keep the nation intact. You want to keep industry intact. You don't want to destroy the whole thing. You want people getting back to work so you can keep getting your money. You need Germany back up and running so you could get more loans, so you could give out more loans, so you can create more debt from credit. You want to issue credit. That's how you get paid. That's modern capitalism. Or I should say financial capitalism. Financial capitalism, according to Carol Quigley, is when you start issuing credit, when you start mastering the concept of credit. So they didn't rebuild Germany. That's the fucking Rockefeller public school education story to hide the real story. Wall Street built Germany. Wall Street wanted to make sure they was going to cash in on Germany. Because if Germany won the war, they wasn't going to be able to cash in. So that's why they coerced America to enter the war to end it, because that U-boat campaign was busting their ass. And it was a grueling war, and we lost millions of American lives in that war. Or hundreds of thousands. Millions total. Lives, period. Millions total, right? So, he says we helped rebuild Germany. The truth of the matter is, the bankers don't want Well, let me tell you what they want. What they want is a balance of power. They want equality of poverty, equality of control. They don't want, okay, Germany is the superpower. Let's not say world power. Let's just say they'd become the superpower of Europe. When really the goal is destabilize Germany, destabilize Poland, destabilize Russia. Mostly Russia and Germany, because you know how that backstabbing story goes. Destabilize France. All of this happening within the same like 20 years. 20-year span. Bolshevik Revolution. Assassination of Franz Ferdinand and all of that. But what they want is the bankers is destabilization of national power. So they allowed Hitler to get so much power, develop the technology that that Wall Street gave him, that Standard Oil gave him, that SO gave him, that IG Farben gave him, that ITT gave him, that Ford gave him, right? Henry Ford gave him all this technology, allowed him to build up, and as soon as he got too power, clip his power. He's too powerful now. Let's clip his power. This is what they do. They build people up, and when you get too powerful, they clip you. That's the story of Germany. Wall Street built Germany. Hitler got too big for his britches. Because remember, Hitler was Time Man of the Year. He was on Time Magazine, Time Man of the Year. Everybody loved him. All of a sudden, you don't love him? Why? Because he was not working towards the interests of Wall Street. Once he ceased to be useful to Wall Street, they clipped his ass. These is facts. So they go in, they clip him, and now Wall Street goes in, and oh, there's a key part of this I'm missing. Oh, shit. Oh, man, what's that called? The name of the loan package. Forgot about the loan package. No, it's not that. Let me see. Is that it? Sometimes I get these confused. There's so many fucking. No, it's not this one. This was the previous. Yeah, right. So I got that right. That's the previous one. The Dawes Plan is the one that fucked Germany over. But there was some credits. Where did I put that? Where do I put that? You know what? Hold on. I might find it faster. Oh, no, wait. I didn't type that right. Hold on. Typo. All right. So this is the first one. The Dawes Plan I was telling you about. This is in my book, too. Hold on. Let's close my book. Because my book's too detailed. It's too detailed for this stream. It'll take me forever to dissect it. So this is the Dawes Plan. Temporarily resolve the issue of reparations, right? So Germany after World War One was supposed to pay reparations, right? But then you got some Dawes Plan, and the Dawes Plan is basically saying, hey, we know you got to pay reparations. How about I loan it to you, right? And you see right here, Germany has loaned 800 million Reichsmark to be the base capital of the central bank, to ensure the Reichsmark stability. About half of the sum was what? Raised through Wall Street bond issues in the United States of America. So Germany loses the war. They got to pay up. They lose World War One. They got to pay up. And what happened? United States bails them out. Wall Street bond issues issued in the United States. This is basic common knowledge everybody needs to have. Now, that's one credit. I cannot remember the name of the credit. I'm not even going to spend no more time on this because this right here is enough to show you what the fuck was going on. So wait, so they loaned money to pay off their own. You see what I'm saying? This is the game they play. I should have played the disclaimer, right? I should have. Now, there was another loan that happened after Wall Street loans, Germany. Let's go post-World War II. Let's see what Google gives us. Yeah, more war debt. Yeah, that was the Dawes plan. Is it the Young plan? No, the Young plan was before that. It's not the Young plan. Yeah, not the Young plan. The Young plan came after too. Hitler defaulted, but now Germany will have to pay. Right, look at New York Times. Between the two world wars, American investors lent Germany then $210 million as part of the first great international effort to bail out a bankrupt country. Elon would tell you we did it because we're a benevolent nation. That's what they'll tell you. He'll basically say, don't trust your common sense. We're the good guys. When really there is no us. It's the bankers versus everybody. It's Wall Street versus everybody. It's the LIBOR versus everybody. That's right here. The American bondholders were the victims of decision made at the end of two worlds. The money lent to Germany to allow to make reparations payments that was victorious, blah, 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 blah. But after World War II, the Allies were more concerned with not repeating mistakes of World War I by saddling Germany with bills it could not pay, forcing Germany to meet its financial obligation with low priority. West Germany paid off the principal of the loans during the following few decades. All right, so maybe I got my information confused. I'm a flawed human being. Maybe the Dawes plan was what I was thinking about. But I could have sworn. There was some loans after World War II. But that again, that might be. That might be, you know, getting real deep in the weed. And again, I haven't studied this since I wrote this book. When did I write this book? When did I write the Patriot Report? Patriot Report, Unmasked Conspiracy of Money and War was written when? It's 2021. It's 3 years ago. Go get a copy. Patriot Report, Unmasked Conspiracy of Money War. HotepJesus.com.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Same banks who funded Hitler rebuilt Germany. Exactly. 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 Pure cap. So that was in the bag. I'm glad you guys made me go back in the bag so I can get that off my chest. I hate Elon. I can't stand him. He's such a fucking... You know what it is? My issue with Elon is the same issue people have with Jay-Z, is the same issue people have with LeBron James. It's not him, it's his fans. It's the people that be like, oh no, he's not the Antichrist, he's a good guy, he's one of us. And it's just like, yo, you really fucking dumb. You just easily fooled. When the peoples need a leader, they will give him one, says Adam Weishaupt, founder of the Illuminati. We got Goldstein waiting in the wing. Let's go to the phone lines. I'll be right back after this short brief commercial break.